May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1085. Hence, vain intruding world depart, no more allure nor vex my heart. Let every vanity be gone, I would be peaceful and alone. 1085.
Thank you. us read from the Word of God. Three portions, friends. First, Psalm 24, and then in the first chapter of John, and also a few verses in 1 Timothy chapter 3. The Psalm number 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah. Reading also, friends, in St. John's Gospel, chapter 1. Reading the first 14 verses. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. a short further reading, friends, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, just the last three verses from verse 14 to the end. 1 Timothy chapter 3. The dear apostle had been solemnly, graciously instructing in those things in the foregoing regarding the officers of the church. And then he says, in concluding, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." May the Lord bless his holy word to us. May he help us in prayer. O Lord, our God, we venture to call upon thee once more. Lord, it is because we do so much need to call upon thee, thou knowest. Oh, do grant us to feel now that vital, needed access to thee, O God, who holy art. Oh, we would be in reverence and godly fear, and seeking to approach thee, Lord, pleading the precious name of Jesus Christ, thy dear beloved Son. Oh, thou great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we venture to acknowledge thee, our Father in heaven. Oh, we beg we might feel that blessed access to thee. Oh, Lord, give us prayer. Oh, we pray that thou wilt indwell it in us each. And as we have heard our dear friend and brother, Lord, we believe, favoured with the spirit of prayer, oh, we seek to continue in prayer, begging for the things we desire, know we need this day. And Lord, that all might be done here today with a single eye to thy glory. Oh, Lord, do come and meet cases here today. Oh, dispense thy favours in thy church. Bless thy people, Lord. Feed them. Oh, as the word states and pray, the desire in the word, feed them also and lift them up forever. We come among them once more, Lord. Oh, as we have been in meditation, thou knowest how solemnly we felt the very swift passing of time since we were here on this corresponding occasion. We know last year it was before Christmas Day, but now we come, Lord, in the difference in the way of the dating, Lord, and not having a fifth Sunday this year. Oh, we come, Lord. Oh, we're aware, Lord, of that time, days of Advent which so many have been considering and practicing. Lord, is past. But Lord, we have been thinking of thy coming and praying we might know particularly, especially our interest, that we might have Know that favour of wisdom granted, be made wise like the wise men were. Oh, we consider thee and thy coming, Lord. But oh, we know there is a second advent, Lord, in thy will and thy purposes. That terrible, solemn second advent that we've been singing of. Lord, oh, how important to be prepared for it. Prepared for that tremendous day of thy second coming and the terrible day of judgment which is before us each. Oh, do prepare my soul for that great day. May this be the prayer of every soul gathered here. Oh, prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in the Saviour's blood. Take my sins away. Oh, Lord, we pray for each and all who are found here who know their sinnership, who know their burden, who carry that heavy weight and burden of sin. Oh, it's so much pressing us down at times. Oh, how heavy the burden. Oh, we do want to see it, Lord, by faith. Oh, how deep and solemn, and yet how blessed. To have a view of it, Lord, laid upon thee, and Lord, thy paying the price to put it all away. This is all our hope. Oh, we pray today that sensible sinners here may receive from thyself what they need. But oh, we pray too, if any are in that solemn state of death and senselessness of their sin, that they will come with thy solemn convicting, convincing hand, thy word, Lord, may arrest them, they might have it come into them as a dart piercing the heart. Oh, do convince of sin, Lord. Then lead to Jesus' blood. We pray for each soul gathered, even the little ones, the youngest. Oh, we understand another little babe born. We pray for that little soul. We pray that in thy time it may be manifest as a vessel of mercy. We pray, Lord, for each of the young in the house of God and those not able to be here, if any are detained at home. We pray for them, Lord. We carry the burden and weight of importance of that they each have a never-dying soul. We pray, Lord, thou wilt in thy time, according to thy will, bring to the birth, the new birth, quicken them into life. May they be manifest in time as born of the Spirit. And any older ones that are here that still are in the death of nature, if it is so, Lord, thou knowest, we are not the judge. But oh, we do pray that even those things we've been singing of in the hymn, that tremendous verse of statement, Lord, eternity, tremendous sound. The guilty souls are dreadful. Make it so, Lord. Make it so, we pray in love. We believe it is in love and not in anger. Thou dost make it so. Dealing with thy people whom thou set thy love upon before the world. Oh, Lord, manifest thy favour in this solemn way. Oh, we believe it is needful. Oh, as it was in our case when we were without concern, when there was just a root out of dry ground, Lord, and thou didst have no form, no comeliness that we regarded or saw. Lord, thou, in thy great mercy, thou didst come. Otherwise, we would have gone on in the same state of death and unconcern. O Lord, is there a soul here going on, content to come to chapel and seemingly think they keep thy day and live a careful, honest life, but not really solemnly concerned about their never-dying soul? Oh, do pierce their heart, Lord, with thy blood-dipped dart. We believe it will be a blood-dipped dart, because if thou dost do it, Lord, it will be for that purpose, to in thy time establish them in the faith, to know thee whom to know is life eternal. Oh, we believe it's bound up in the covenant of thy grace regarding everyone thou hast set thy love upon. Oh, Lord, thou didst speak of other sheep. And Lord, in the reality of it as it was then and it is now still so, there are other sheep which are not of this fold, the fold of Zion yet, but thou must bring them. We look for thy appearing, Lord, in so bringing souls under Zion, with their faces to the Lord. A wonderful word that is such a word for us to plead, Lord, regarding some of our loved ones. If it be thy will, for thou hast said the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. Thou knowest how great a word this is to us, to plead with thee. Oh, if it be thy will, that thou wilt favour us to see the appearing of it in the reality of it. O Lord, do thus deal in mercy with all who we carry, Lord, with the burden of their souls. Bring them unto Zion. O Lord, we look to thee, we cast them upon thee. And Lord, thou knowest, as we think too of friends, oh, the many friends thou hast given us, Lord, up and down the country and across the land. My heart goes to them, Lord, in love. Oh, that this day they may be favoured in thy house. Lord, there are those that I mourn in. We especially remember the family of our late dear friend, Mr. Raymond Woodhams. Comfort them, Lord. Oh, they have such wonderful assured hope. May this be their comfort. But may they, as he would have faithfully warned he ever did, Lord, oh, may they be concerned. When there is the comfortable favour of that feeling of assurance and assured hope regarding a loved one taken, how important, Lord, that each should pray, that we should pray. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Even may it be, Lord, in family circles, that the death of one may be the means of the life of another. Oh, we would acknowledge, Lord, too, thy taking to thyself those dear servants of thine through this year, Lord. Now we've gathered, Lord, on those occasions, Lord. And oh, we remember in this way the friends, Lord, at Staplehurst and Braeburn and Westrow and at Rotherfield, Lord, and we know, Lord, especially thinking of our recently departed friends, how we laboured marching the churches up and down the land, across the land. And as others may not have so much so, but thou knowest all regarding their labours of thy dear servants now taken home to thee. They fought a good fight and kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for them a crown of righteousness. How will it be with us, Lord? Us that feel to be but under gardeners in thy vineyard. Oh, Lord, we do want to spend and be spenders. Those that had such a good example set by thy grace, Lord, oh, we want to follow on and spend and be spending thine home. We bless thee, Lord, for spiritual children given. We pray for more. We watch for souls. We look, Lord, unto thee that there was work. Thou hast said, I will work and who shall let it? Let thy work appear, Lord, yet unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Let thy work yet appear here, Lord. We bless thee for what thou hast done, how thou hast worked, how thou hast brought one and another. And Lord, as we have recently witnessed it, Lord, especially sweetly we felt it so much an answer to prayer, Lord, as poor as one feels, we have carried that burden with our friend James. And what joy filled our heart when we heard the tidings, one come forward to follow thee. But now, Lord, they know if our friend has the shadow of death, as it were, a dear friend who is now ill in a hospital, we pray for him. We believe he's on the rock. We are sure of it, Lord. Oh, be near him in his last hours if it is so. Oh, be very near him. Crown his journey's end, Lord. Such a long life. Oh, such a respectful, honest man by that even naturally viewed. But oh, we thank thee for the communion, the favours we've felt when being in his presence. Bless him, Lord. Be very near him. Oh, Lord. Oh, if he could pass the river Tallinn, the triumphs of his friend. Oh, Lord. We have had some times he's speaking. But, Lord, thou knowest. Oh, we do remember, Lord, all who are in affliction. Thou knowest, we are thankful that our friend and sister, Mrs. Pont, was brought safely through. Lord, do go on to heal her and strengthen her. And, Lord, how wonderful it's been for thy dear servant, Lord. We've been so much thinking of him and praying for him, for his upholding and help. Oh, Lord, thou knowest all these things of our exercise and concern for the friends in the Church of God that we know. But, Lord, thou hast a great part of thy church that we do not know. Oh, we would pray for all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ. Some have gone on missionary work, Lord. We trust under thy calling, thou knowest how it's been, thy purpose to so call them to it. We remember a family, Lord, out in Kenya, Lord. Be very near them, Lord, and keep them safe. And bless our young friend's ministry there. Oh, Lord, thou knowest. Oh, we would in love remember all those that so many we do not know, but we're exhorted to pray for them. Especially those that are in dreadful situations of awful fearfulness for their lives. And there have been many swiftly ushered into eternity under violence and awful, wicked men, so barbaric and terrible. Lord, thou knowest. But oh, we would ever acknowledge that death that puts an end to life does put an end to sin. For thy people, death is the porter, at the heavenly gate to let the pilgrim in. O Lord, O it shall be well with thy people, whether life is short or long here on earth, thou knowest. And so may we each be concerned to be prepared, Lord, for that great day. O Lord, thou hast said it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. But O lead us into and give us light and give us assurance, Lord, in that wonderful following word. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him. O Lord, do save us from looking to all kinds of material things, Lord. Save us from looking to, Lord, heap up treasures here. Oh, we would be rightly diligent. But, Lord, may our diligence be first and foremost in exercise to be prepared. Oh, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation, that solemn second advent, thy second coming, when thou wilt come to tread in thine anger and tremble in thy fury, many, many souls away down to hell. But thou wilt come as that one who has trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none to help. But thou wilt come to take thy ransomed people home. Do prepare us, Lord. We beg thee. Hear our prayers for our country, Lord. Thou knowest what dreadful times these are. And as indeed our dear editor has acknowledged in the New Year's address, what sad times they are here in England, our homeland. O Lord, O we beg, turn us again. O Lord, deal with us, deal with our rulers. May thy voice be heard. A year ago, Lord, we were witnessing such terrible winds and storms and floods, Lord. Oh, but as we believed then, it was thy voice to the land. Yet, sadly, solemnly, for the most part, thy voice has not been acknowledged. O Lord, do come, do appear, do speak. May thy voice be heard. Oh, that voice we read of in the Psalm, we believe Psalm 29 it is, Lord, where thou dost say, through the psalmist, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. A God of glory thundereth, the Lord is upon many waters. O Lord, but for thy people, he sitteth upon the flood. O Lord, O in that wonderful word, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So, Lord, come among us here now. May we feel it. Oh, Lord, may we go on to feel it as we felt that in the prayer in the vestry. And, Lord, now as we continue in prayer and watch unto the same and turn to thy word, and we pray thou would help us in further singing thy praises, our dear friend and brother at the desk, Lord. Thou knowest our love to him, the bond of love we have, and love among the friends, and oh, we would love as brethren. Oh, may we heed thy new commands, Lord. May we be in practice of them, in exercise for them, that ye love one another, and Lord, all thy new commands. Oh, Lord, oh, make us to truly be followers of thee, followers of the meek and lowly Jesus. So bless us, Lord. We ask these things begging the pardon of our every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 778. Though straight be the way with dangers beset, and we on the way are no farther yet, our good guide and Saviour has helped us thus far, for 'tis by his favour we are what we are. 778.
Thank you.
As the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to St. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and the verses 10 to 12, the verses 10, 11, and 12. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. As we've been singing, friends, really, there's two particularly verses in what we've been singing, very close to what we have here. The wonderful truth here. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And like as we read, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And the psalmist acknowledged God the Creator. Perhaps you've been singing, God our Creator, an infant was born. Oh, how important. We should remember the Lord in that way, no less almighty at his birth than on his throne supreme. His shoulders held up heaven and earth when Mary held up him. Here we are now. On the last Lord's Day of another year. Another year of our short lives is gone, friends. We are journeying on toward eternity, like we found in the hymn, the opening hymn, Eternity. Tremendous sound, is it? Is it a tremendous sound? Because if we are truly exercised by the Spirit, if we are concerned, make it to be a concerned soul by God, eternity will be a tremendous sound. There'll be a great question in your heart. Where shall I spend eternity? Are you thinking? Especially some of you young ones, I would say in love to you. Are you thinking, well, I'm young, there's ever so many more years, I hope, in my life before me. Are you saying you needn't worry about this now? You don't know how long you will live. I hope, we all hope, you have the favour of a long life and a useful life and a blessed life. And the greatest blessing is to be by grace made to know you're one of God's children. But if death came suddenly, like it does come to some, would you be ready for eternity? Would you be ready for that solemn, terrible, tremendous day after death and judgment? Oh, how important. Recently, in taking a service, we were led to speak regarding the centurion servant. Something is said about the centurion servant. You know how the Lord had that centurion sent messengers to him, saying about his servant was dead, so ill, so near death, it's even said of him, he was ready to die. That didn't mean he was ready to die, spiritually ready, truly ready. He was so ill, and he was so near to death. And that is a statement that is used, ready to die, meaning, and some have thought, even meaning this, they were ready to lay him out. He was so near to death. That didn't mean he was ready to die. That meant he was near death. And we do not know how near we are. But are we truly ready to die? That's the seriousness, the solemnity of what is so acknowledged in the first hymn. The hymn writer knew it well. Eternity, tremendous sound, a guilty soul, a dreadful wound. But the sad thing is, souls that are guilty in God's sight, who do not know they are guilty in God's sight, it's not a dreadful wound to them. It's not a solemn prospect before them. They're unconcerned. And if we're living unconcerned, we're in a most treacherous state. We're like us being, and I would say this carefully, knowing about our dear young friend who had that solemn, terrible fall, but it's like being near the edge of a precipice, isn't it? If we're living like that, we're in very near to danger. We don't know how near perhaps we are, but we are. But friends, we do not intend to dwell upon this here now, but you see, what is so important? He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You say, does this mean the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, it does. He was in the world. You say, well, he wasn't here on earth. Of course he wasn't. But he was in the world. He's the eternal Son of God, equal in power and authority and purpose with the other blessed persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Son of God was equally involved with God the Father and the Spirit in creation. The world was made by him. And this is what we need to consider, and it will help if we know it and see it, if God show us it. You know, God is omnipresent, he's everywhere. And he owns the world. It's his world, though it is now fallen through sin. But God's the owner of it all. He's that one who made the world. And so this statement here, John was led by the Spirit to make it. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You are in the world. I am in the world. We are human, fallen human beings. We are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And this is a general statement, isn't it? Concerning all mankind, the world knew him not. God, there, every one of humanity know not God, know not Christ by nature. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. There is that sense, you see, in which, and you can find it in the Holy Scripture, he was in the Garden of Eden, wasn't he? He was there, the Son of God was there in the first words of prophecy. The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. All through the Scriptures, the record of Scriptures, if you see the Holy Scriptures in the letter of it, the history of it, he was in the world. Jesus Christ in all the Scriptures. Yes, the world knew him not. But there were those that knew him. Savingly, there were. And the further statement here is, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. I believe this, a greater part, should be generally acknowledged as relating to the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. It came unto his own, but it shouldn't be singly acknowledged as that, because the whole of humanity are God's. He made them all. He's the creator. Oh, we would ever be concerned to truly witness. We are truly creationists, believing in creation. Some of you young ones, you may be taught other things at school. But may God's grace be granted you and be in you, that you might be able to see and know the folly of it. And believe in creation, believe, truly to believe that God, the Son of God, God our Creator, He was equal with the Father and the Blessed Spirit as God the Creator, Jehovah God. God spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And so then it came unto His own. It comes in the display of His power, His majesty, His greatness, His authority in the elements, in so many ways. The witness of God, the power of God in the earth, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Natural man cannot understand the spiritual deep in that, but oh, how He came unto His own. But oh, He did come in His first coming, when He came as a babe born in Bethlehem, laid in the manger. Oh, in that way. And perhaps you would profit, friends, if you more read concerning the miraculous conception of the dear babe in the Virgin. Some of the commentators that have written on it have gone into it more than perhaps you've ever known. And I've not been one to read commentaries in the years of my ministry very much at all. But recently, in concern and prayer regarding the sacred humanity of Christ, we have read some of the, especially Gill's commentary on the miraculous conception and birth of Christ. You may be profited by reading it. Not that I would exhort you to read man's words before the Word of God, but it is explanatory in a gracious way of the wonderful way our Lord, the Son of God, was born. Came into this world. He came, and He did come unto His own, the Jewish nation, and His own received Him not. But it says, but as many as received Him. I believe these are the favoured ones who we desire to know. We are among. Could you say this morning, could you give testimony of this, that God has blessed you, that you can lay hold of this, but as many as received Him. Have you been blessed to be made one who by faith has received Christ? Oh, as many as received Him. We are this Lord's Day, past Christmas Day, and past the Feast of Stephen, which is Boxing Day, as it's practiced and held, and much more than we do perhaps in other circles of Christianity. But friends, you know, He came. The Saviour came, the dear Son of God came. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. You know, ever so much of that is applicable to us in our early days, some of us. Oh, yeah, we didn't receive Him, didn't want Him, didn't need Him, didn't look for Him. But is it different now? And is it different, perhaps, in you younger friends who have a shorter experience than us older ones? But is there a difference? Is there a difference in you? Has the Lord made you to become concerned about your never-dying soul, as God made you to be concerned about eternity, as we've been speaking to you, those things which are very, very important, more important than anything else in your life. The things regarding our state and condition, our standing for time and eternity is the most important thing of our need to be exercised in, but we are. When we are still dead in sins, we're not concerned. But is there a difference? Has there been a change of heart? Has the Lord begun to work in you? Has he made you to be concerned, as I said, about your never-dying soul? You see, we have a never-dying soul which will always live. But it is so solemn, because the fact is, it will always live, and we shall be alive in that way of, and especially as we think of it after the resurrection of the body, how we shall be alive, but either in heaven or in hell. You know what it says regarding the resurrection: the dead in Christ shall rise first. And the Lord will receive them to himself. They shall be forever with the Lord. But all those that die out of Christ shall be consigned away into everlasting woe. And as we are living soul and are not ever to know extinction, we shall be there if we are lost, suffering the pains of hell forever, the punishment justly due to us for all our sins. But oh, the great wonder of the way of salvation for God's people. God's love to his people, those he set his love upon. He's given his own dear son, sent his own dear son into the world. We have it here, John's got the wonderful record. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him. This is where we want to be found, within this secret of this favour, in this mystery of godliness, that dear Paul the Apostle, after much needful exercise to write to Timothy regarding the proper, decent and gracious conduct that he should ever be concerned to promote and practice, comes to this In the emphasis of it. It says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, believed of in the world. Oh, how wonderful this is to God's people, these that are in this number, as many as received him. Oh, are you in the number of them? Are you among them? Am I? As many as received him. Oh, what a vital thing this is for us to be exercised over, friends. May the dear Spirit make us each solemnly exercised about this, to question our state and standing. Let us ask the important question: brethren, be not too secure what it is to be a Christian, that we may our hearts assure. What is it? It's to be blessed, to believe, to receive this power, which is the power of God. Power he gave, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. What is this power? Well, of course, it's the power of his love, but the enabling to believe, which is in that wonderful gift of the grace of faith to his dear people, to believe. Now, oh, the concern then that you will have if you're being taught of God, Oh, the concern God will so work in you, exercise you with. Am I one of these who can say, by grace, by faith, I receive Christ? Let's consider it simply. Do you really need him? Is he the one thing needful? Is he your only hope? This is what was expressed before this service in prayer. Thou, Lord, art our only hope. We've got no other hope but thee. This is the fact that God brings everyone he has a purpose of love and mercy to know this. Oh, Jesus Christ becomes the one thing needful. Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. Holy Spirit, make me heedful. Help me in his name to trust. Yes. Now is it so? You see, we do want to know. We do want to be sure. You need to be sure. I need to be sure. We need revelation, friends. We need the application of the word. We need the sealing of the Spirit. We need assurance of faith. We need faith to believe. Oh, but as many as received him. John gives record of these in this way, in a general sense. John knew it. As many as received him. The Holy Spirit, of course, was exercising John to write and record this. He had been a witness. Oh, he was an eyewitness. He was with the Lord. He walked and talked with the Lord. Oh, this dear John. Not the John the Baptist. John the Baptist is mentioned here, very important. The forerunner of Christ. But this dear John. And what did they say together of his fullness? That we received. And grace for grace. You can find that where they beheld him in his walking. Yes. Oh, he was in the world. And that right from creation to his first coming, as he came, born by birth, mysterious. But oh, in your life, in your world, in your pathway, in your exercise, in your experience, is he in it, friends? Is the Son of God in it? Do you have the Son of God? He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Friends, these vital points we must bring before you. As many as received him. And oh, you are, if you're being taught of God, as God's made you know your sinnership, because I believe this way God works in everyone. He will convince of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. He'll make his people to really need salvation, to need the Saviour. Convicts us, convinces us of our sin. And you will know it in some depth and measure. Now, can you examine yourself and me? Examine myself. Has God brought us to so be in such a state? The reality of knowing what we really are. What we really are before God. How we appear before God. God to give us some light. You see, he's that light. He's that light. He's that light that lighteth every man that is born of the Spirit. Oh, John is speaking of the Son of God as that light. And this is what he continues to state and is recorded here. The importance of having that enlightening by God and being given to know ourselves. One of the verses is sweet to me, and it's because I hope I know it by experience. Oh, how humbling it is when we are favoured to believe we know these important things by experience. But you know, one of the themes that is so clear and precious to me is grace. When the tribes, redeemed by blood, are brought to know themselves and God. Oh, are you brought to know yourself and God? This is vital, friends. This is what God does by the work and operation of the Spirit in his people. He brings them into this wonderful but solemn understanding and knowledge to know themselves and God. See, the fact is, we can go on in our lives carefully, decently, uprightly, taught by our parents, brought up, and to be honest and careful and kind and diligent in things to honestly earn the bread that perisheth, to make a way in the world, to seek to follow a useful purpose in life. And I expect each one of you, you young people, desire that and are led into it and blessed in that way in natural favours under God. But we can be in all that, all the good things of life, and be neglectful about our never-dying soul, not have any concern about our never-dying soul. But when we are dealt with by God, if God loves us, he begins to deal with us. And if some of you, and some of you young ones, it may be even recently God's begun, but what a favour it is. Very solemn it can be. And sometimes I know, and I think of young people who have just been begun in by God. You may feel it to be a terrible, solemn, awful experience. But let me tell you, in love and faithfulness, if God's convicting and convincing you of your sin, he will in his time lead you on. Sweet theme it is, lovely it is, the expression of it. If you, when in time God favouring you, you will be able to say, he led me on with placid pace to Jesus as my hiding place. Wonderful when you can say that. It may be hard now, it may be solemn now, but if God is showing you yourself and himself, it will be. It will be, because he's showing you your sins and he's showing you himself as a holy, holy, holy God. And in that, the solemn reality of that, experience of that, it is very solemn and brings you under such seriousness of concern. But oh, how wonderful. Those of us who know the further things of experience, we can say to you, you know this, if you're going through this, God is wonderfully working, and he will bring you in his time into things of the blessed favours of his grace, where he will reveal a precious Christ. Let me, as it were, if God use this that I am given, it flows into the poor pipe for me to pour out to you. If God is doing this, he will bring you to a time, and the witness of it in being brought toward it is this. I bring it to you in a way of question. Does what you are feeling in the solemn things of solemn revelation, conviction of sin, does this begin to cause you to feel to be needing to look to the Lord Jesus Christ? And does it make him to become, begin to become, and perhaps more as time goes on with you, to become precious to you? Does it make him precious? Does it make him precious in the need of him, in the want of him? Does it make you, cause you to begin to love him in the want of him? See, there's within that, the reality of those things experienced and felt is the witness of the true work, the blessed work of the Holy Spirit. in a soul who God loves. God works like this, friends. He works his sovereign will in his people whom he set his love upon. He does. These are the ones who acknowledged he as many as received him. Oh, you'd receive him in your best room, would gladly receive him. But yes, you fear to presume because of God solemnly teaching you and dealing with you. You fear to presume. And your editor, he speaks in what he's written. He says, oh, God's people, they are concerned to be right. They're concerned to be right. Before Christmas, we had an email from dear Joe Flitton, as we always do, many of us do, from Australia. I should think when dear Joe read the New Year's address, which would be after he sent the messages to us, I should think he felt when he read that, and your editor says, in the importance of being right. That's exactly what he wrote in his message. I want to be right. You want to be right. To be found right at last. God must prepare you. You need to be prepared. You pray, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. His spirit must have worked before, for he is all of grace. How do you know that? Has God been showing you it, teaching you it, making you know? You see, he's revealing things to you, vital things, as many as received him. Now, these characters who are begun in by God and God is teaching and bringing them into soul need and soul need in seeking him. Oh, as many as received him. To receive him by faith. To begin to believe under the gracious favour of God's goodness and working in you, teaching you by his Spirit, as many as received him. Now, of course, this is in the past tense. Of course, John was a witness of many being brought. John witnessed those characters coming to Christ. I mentioned the messengers of the centurion regarding his servant. Something is said there. Those messengers pleaded that the Lord would heal their servants, the centurion's servant. And they pleaded, they said, for he is worthy, he's a good man, he's built us a synagogue, you know. That was not anything really to Christ to make him think there was merit. You know, nothing of that could be pleaded to save that servant. He merited healing. Nothing of your good doing, of what you can do, you think you might do, will be of any merit. It wasn't that. It wasn't that. It wasn't merit that caused the Saviour to heal that servant. Nothing of that could have been pleaded as merit that he should do it. He was one of these who received Christ in the blessing of his healing and favour. Oh, how it's vital, friends, according to sovereign grace, sovereign love, sovereign mercy. It's the power of sovereign love, sovereign grace, sovereign mercy. It's the power of the love of God, and it's the favour of being granted faith to believe. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. Oh, what a favour it is if God is giving us power. Power to believe. Power to lay hold. It's not in us. It's all from him. It's all the gift of God. It's all the graces of the Spirit given. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. See, you need power to believe. You need the enabling graces. You need God strengthening you, strengthening your faith, making you strong in faith. To be made strong in faith, this is how sinners believe. It's dependent upon God wholly and completely, upon the grace of God, the favour of God, God granting supplies of grace. And if you're tempted, if you're tried, as you will be, and if you passing through hard things in tribulation, God gives power to his people to endure and to persevere. Oh, he gave them power to become the sons of God. There's that hymn, so close, so blessed. Sons of God in tribulation, let your eyes the Saviour view. He's the rock of our salvation. He was tried and tempted to all to succour every tempted burdened son. Oh, are you in tribulation? Is that your case today? Is that your trouble? Is the way so hard for you? Is the journey too great for you? Oh, but this, friends, to these characters who by faith receive him, who know him, who need him, who rely on him, who look to him, to them gave he power. And he gives power today. It's no different in the church of God, no different in God's blessed economy of his way of working in souls. It's the same way, the same God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, one Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It's he was in the world, the world was made by him. He came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. Do you feel you can acknowledge anything of this power? Have you experienced it? Do you have that sealed in your heart? God has given you power. If you look back to how weak and poor you were, see, oh, think of it in the terms of that sweet sacred hymn where the hymn writer says there, speaking of how the Lord is so precious to his people and how they long to know him, they plead with him, how they are pleading for Christ, pining for Christ. Oh, much dismayed, take courage still and knock at mercy's door. A loving Saviour surely will relieve his praying poor. He knows how weak and faint thou art. He will come at length. One look for him will cheer thy heart and bring renewed strength. For them gave he power to become the sons of God. Oh, to them. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This last couplet is really the power. It's really the witness of the power to them that believe on his name. Oh, what a great favour it is, friends, to so be blessed with the grace, the graces of the Spirit, to believe on his name, the eternal Word, the eternal Son of God, he who was ever with the Father, he who came to this earth full of grace and truth, he who is ascended up on high and led captivity captive and receives gifts from men, is in heaven, there in the court of heaven. Oh, we hope, we humbly hope we can say he's there. He's there for me. Can you say it? He's there. He's my Saviour. He's my advocate. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And oh, how wonderful it is to be favoured with his power, this enabling grace to believe. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. To become witnesses. To become witnesses. They are the sons of God. God makes witnesses, deals with his people, sanctifies them by his Spirit, blesses them with faith, faith in the bleeding Lamb. Oh, what a gift is this. Oh, they become witnesses. Oh, are we witnesses? Are we living as such? Are we living to his praise? To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Yes, they are in tribulation. But oh, how their calling is to follow Christ, to show forth his praise, to live as pilgrims and strangers in the earth. Oh, are we witnesses of him, of what he has done? To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Oh, do we walk in this earth to be living as many in the world gave a blessed witness of what God had done for them? It is so today. We think of those of the dear servants of God taken home this year. Oh, what witnesses they were by the grace of God. How they preached Christ crucified. How they spent and were spent in his name. I think of them. I think of them in the terms of what Paul the Apostle said. For some have laboured so much in weakness, haven't they? But yet determined to go on. Strength, just enough strength given. How they prove those wonderful words that Paul received from the Lord. The Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And there's been the witness, friends, in those characters we have known. As Paul said, most gladly therefore will I bear mine infirmities, that the Spirit of Christ might rest upon me. Well, this is having this favour. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Javies Rupp is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Richard Field next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School and administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn 199. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, oh fix me on it, mount of God's unchanging love. 199.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything that they have seen amiss. Do own and bless thy word. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.